nasa kalagitnaan tayo ng Olympics ngayon, at kahit pa napurnada na yung natatanging pag-asa natin ng medalya, ngunit today is the anniversary of one of the most memorable Olympic feats in history. I've told you about this recently. It was in Berlin in 1936, right under the nose of Adolf Hitler, who advanced the theory of the Aryan race superiority. And the Olympics was supposed to be his showcase, particularly in the athletics competition. But then that black American, Jesse Owens, will spoil the case for Hitler as he bested even the best of the German athletes. He won the gold in the 100 meters, gold in 200 meters, and gold in the long jump. And the latter, the feat in the long jump, will stand as a an Olympics record for 24 years. In one such event, while Owens was being awarded, Hitler left the stadium disgruntled. Well, it proved the athletic maturity of Jesse Owens that in spite of the home court advantage of the other athletes, of the German athletes, he maintained his composure and he did not succumb to pressure. At alam nyo, isa sa mga sukatan ng tunay na maturidad sa anumang bagay ay yung kakayahan mo na sa harap ng pressure, sa harap ng mga taong ayaw kang magwagi, ayaw kang manalo, ngunit nagagawa mong panatilihin ang kalmadong diwa upang gawin ang nararapat gawin. So there are many corresponding situations in the Christian life as a test of maturity. And the Corinthian church, very sadly for the Apostle Paul, has become like home court territory of his enemies. Those opponents in Corinth who were very influential in the church were using the very church which Apostle Paul founded, the very church whom Apostle Paul loved in a special way. Now the church is being used by opponents whom Apostle Paul called super apostles in order to denigrate the apostle. Nakakalungkot ito, mabigat na bagay ito para kay Apostle Pablo, na yung minahal niyang iglesia ng Corinto ay yun ngayon ang ginagamit ng kanyang mga kaaway upang siya ay tuligsain, upang siya ay pagbintangan, at maraming bagay ang mga sinasabing mali na laban sa kanya. Pero dito makikita natin ang maturidad naman ni Apostle Pablo. His maturity in the face of pressure, in the face of something so hurtful, and yet he managed to maintain his calm spirit and to do what needed to be done as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw last time that we addressed this, that a mature ministry patterned after Christ defines its service as self-denying. At ganyan nga si Apostol Pablo, yung kanyang ministeryo ay ministeryo na dahil tumutulad kay Jesucristo ay tumatanggi sa kanyang sarili, hindi niya inuuna ang kanyang sarili. Ay may tatanong natin, paano niyang nagawa ang bagay na yan sa harap ng masakit, sa harap ng mga kalaban, ngunit napanatili niya ang gayong diwa ng pagtanggi sa sarili? We will answer that question now in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 16 to 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 16 to 19. But granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and got the better of you by deceit. Did I take advantage of you through any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not act in the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. So here, Paul is now voicing the criticisms being hurled against him by his opponents. Kanyang isinasatinig ngayon yung mga bintang ng kanyang mga kaaway at ng mga taga-Corinto. And he denies them with quite biting irony. And then he asserts what it really was that motivated him. mali yung kanilang mga ibinibintang, sa halip ibinalik ni Apostol Pablo ano ba talaga ang dahilan at ano ang motibo na nagpapakilo sa kanya sa paglilingkod niya sa mga taga-Korinto. And Paul says, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ for your upbuilding, beloved. And that expression, in the sight of God, summarizes it all. This is my message. The mature conceives his supreme motive in the sight of God as he deals with brethren. Ang may maturidad ay hinuhubog ang kanyang pangunahing motibo sa harap ng Diyos sa pakikitungo sa mga kapatiran. The mature conceives his supreme motive in the sight of God as he deals with brethren. Now, do you know that the expression in the sight of God occurs here in 2 Corinthians more than in any other biblical book? Clearly, this was very much in the mind of the Apostle Paul in the face of this Corinthian attack, these very unfair charges. Apostle Paul was holding on to this as his motive. This was very important to him. And that's why he repeats this again and again in 2 Corinthians. And we have it here again in our text. It is in the sight of God that we are doing this. And that is a challenge to us. Are we doing what we are doing in serving the brethren in the sight of God? In our problematic situations, especially dealing with brethren, this is a test of real maturity. And where our motive is conceived in the sight of God, it will function in two ways to make us mature. First, shield from hurtful treatment. And second, strength for thankless service. Una, ipanangga sa masakit na pakikitungo. At ikalawa ay lakas sa paglilingkod na walang pagkilala. So, shield from hurtful treatment, strength for thankless service. In both ways, the reason why Paul could do his service is because it is done in the sight of God. And when that is done in the sight of God, first of all, it becomes a shield from hurtful treatment. Meron kang panangga sa masakit na pagtrato. Paul's words reveal what he is being criticized for. They are accusing him of taking advantage of the church. Can you imagine this? Apostle Paul decided he would not take anything from Corinth precisely because of its immaturity. And now the criticism that comes back to him is that he was taking advantage of the church. His treatment of the church is unique. He did not burden the church as far as financial obligations were concerned. He took financial support from other churches but deliberately avoided Corinthian support because of its immaturity. Now the criticism that comes back to him is, you're taking advantage of us. E paano naman ang ikikilos mo na eto nga umiwas na siyang kumuha ng anuman sa iglesia ng Corinto, ang balik pa rin sa kanya ay nilalamangan ang iglesia. That was the censure. Now, how could Paul bear such treatment from Corinth? How could we, faced with such hurtful treatment, how could we take such treatment? Well, this is Paul's answer. I do this in the sight of God. You see, when you do this in the sight of God, the knowledge of God's approval clears the conscience despite people's disapproval. Dito magbabanggaan yung pag-aproba ng Panginoon laban sa mga bintang ng mga tao, magbabanggaan yan. At kapag sinalubong mo ang bintang ng tao sa sarili mo lang lakas, sa halip na ayon sa pagharap mo sa Diyos, ay bibigay at bibigay ka. You will yield to the accusations of people. Paul adopted the approach of not seeking financial support because it was his way of self-giving to Corinth, as we already saw. He compared himself to a parent investing in the child in the sense of giving everything to the child without expecting any return. He did this in the conviction that this was according to the will of God. So in other words, Paul was satisfied that this was approved by God. But now, he is facing these unfair charges from Corinth. But because he knew that God approved of his policy, he could face the accusation and hold fast to a clear conscience. You see, the charges of people become unbearable when you also stand charged by your conscience. That will be difficult to handle. You're being charged by people and your conscience is not clear. Instead, Apostle Paul, because he was doing everything in the sight of God, he could stand even in the face of accusation and say that his conscience is clear. Listen to this in chapter 4, verse 2 of 2 Corinthians. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, Paul is saying, you speak to God as I speak to my God. Let your conscience judge as I let my conscience judge. And I'm not afraid to face anyone as far as that is concerned. Because he did everything in the sight of God. He would not commit himself to them by compromising. Or to use current vocabulary, by being seeker friendly. That was not his business. And ours is an age that lives by the approval of men, be it in politics, in the market, and yes, even in religion. A politician's career can be made or unmade by percentage points of approval or disapproval in the polls. A product in the market can yield black or red in the balance sheet by consumer interest or lack of it. And religious popularity is earned by being seeker-friendly. Do not hurt. Do not offend. Make them like you. And so we make sure that what we do, if it is like a post on the Facebook, people will like it. And that's the kind of age we live in. We live by the approval of people. It is difficult for that kind of spirit to withstand hurtful treatment and still serve. But Apostle Paul says we do not seek man's approval merely, but Paul sought the approval of God. And in the face of the disapproval of men, what made Paul sturdy in his service and conviction is the knowledge of God's approval. Again, listen to this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. So in his ministry, Apostle Paul felt the clash between seeking the approval of men or seeking the approval of God. And he made a deliberate choice that it will be the approval of God despite the conflicts that he had to face. So here then is the essence of the motive of in the sight of God. We are willing to have our hearts tested for the pleasure of God. Now, this does not mean that we seek to displease men deliberately. But what it means is that where the clash happens, we would not displease God. And if in the course of pleasing God, some are displeased, some people are displeased and offended, then so be it. It means that our motive is to please God, and if in the process we displease men, let the pleasure of God be our shield. One of the essential systems of our body is the immune system. A healthy person has a healthy immune system. When infection attacks us, the reason why we can survive is because of that immune system. Well, the displeasure of men is like infection. And the only way to survive the attack is when you have a sturdy motive of pleasing God, not pleasing men. So appeal to God sincerely in the face of pressure by people who hurt you. This is what Paul is doing. He could not appeal to the leaders of Corinth. They were his opponents. He could not appeal even to the people of the Corinthian church because they were being swayed by the opponents. So what did Paul do? He appealed to God. Have you been thinking, Paul asks, that we have just been defending ourselves to you? And Paul says, our appeal is in the sight of God. An old theologian called this the I-thou standing before God. The I-thou is beyond the I-he. It's easy to talk of God in the third person. It is even beyond the I-it. We can talk of something associated with God. I-thou is when God is second person to you, frontally. Are you in that standing before your God? That God is not third person you talk about. That God is not a thing simply associated with Him. But God is someone you address as in His sight. This is a challenge, and probably the Lord's Supper is one good occasion for us to refresh that I-thou standing with our God. And conceive your motive in the sight of God, and let that be your shield from hurtful treatment. One of the most hurtful periods in the life of that great preacher of the 19th century, C.H. Spurgeon, happened in 1887, and it came to be known as the downgrade controversy, when Spurgeon had to expose the trend of liberalism that was afflicting his beloved association, the Baptist Union. And he was forced to resign. And many criticized him, even though they have profited very much from Spurgeon's ministry. And that must have been something that hurt Spurgeon. And yet he stood by his ground because he was doing it in the sight of God. So with you, this is the challenge. Is there something, may bagay bang hindi mo ginagawa kasi baka may masaktan kahit pa alam mong ito ang kalooban ng Diyos? At ang nagiging pasimunong motibo mo ay huwag manakit, huwag makatisod kahit na alam mo ang kalooban ng Diyos? Panariwain mo ang ganitong motibo. The motive of doing everything in the sight of God, and that will shield you from hurtful treatment. And secondly, it will give strength for thankless service. Paul said, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding. And what strikes me here is how Paul could still call these people beloved. Ginagawa namin itong lahat para sa inyong ikatitibay, mga minamahal. Yan ang pagtawag ni Pablo dito sa mga taga-Korinto. After all that they have censured back against Paul, after all the unfair charges, after all that Paul has done in a self-giving way, and what returns to him are all these sharp attacks, how could Paul still call them beloved? Are they even worthy of that love? What is Paul seeking for these people who have proven ungrateful for all his self-denying service? Well, it tells us. And what we learn is that serving the brethren in the sight of God will seek foremost their spiritual upbuilding. That's the word Paul used. Ang kanilang ikatitibay, ang kanilang ikatatayo. The old word is edification. But upbuilding retains the figure of the original, which is that of a construction. When you know what you are building, you can measure progress. If you know you're building a house or a bridge, you can measure whether it is taking shape into a house or a bridge. Apostle Paul knew what he wanted the Corinthians to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew the characters that take conformity to Jesus Christ. And that was his longing. And how could he do it in the face of such a thankless people in the sight of God? We have been speaking in Christ. Our ministry to you is in the consciousness of our union with Christ. And each building block in your Christian growth is to be measured how you are conforming to Jesus Christ. Ayan ang ipanuri natin sa ating sarili, sa paglilingkod natin sa kapatiran. May mga panahon na hindi masama na ganap ng pagkilala, ng pagpapasalamat. Even the Apostle Paul said that you ought to have commended me, he said in the middle of the book. So there was nothing wrong about that in and of itself. But what if in the face of, instead of appreciation, is just the opposite? You get censured unfairly. Well, for the immature, it would have been enough to give up on these people. Well, not for Paul, because he was doing it in the sight of God. And when we are doing anything in the sight of God, what we want to see is upbuilding, more of the Lord Jesus Christ in these people. And he would not be satisfied until something of Christ can be reflected from these people. Never mind the censures, never mind the unfair criticisms. This is in the sight of God. And you and I will be into periods when the ministry or serving the brethren will seem thankless. And that is when the challenge becomes most acute. Exercise your love in the sight of God in Christ, whether it is for the lost or for the brethren. Loving in the sight of God, Paul would not be deterred by their unthankfulness. And that challenges us, do not love just because it feels good to be loved back, but love in the sight of God. When I have the consciousness that I am under God's eye, how can I not love whom He loves? If he is a lost sinner, I will love him in the sight of God, desiring that he may become the child of God. So do not give up on that sinner whom God has brought under the canopy of your influence and service. And if he is a fellow believer, all the more must I love him whom God loves in Christ, even when thankless. Confess it when our love is too much dictated by the sight of men. Confess it when your love is not dictated by the sight of God. And resolve that there will be an instance, perhaps today, maybe this week, a near future, when your love will be in the sight of God. This was what moved Charles Colson, who died recently, when he chose to love the most unloved in society, the prisoners. He himself tasted prison when the Watergate scandal involving President Nixon unraveled. The very first official who was imprisoned was Charles Colson. And yet there in prison, humbled, humiliated, grace visited him. And when he got out, he determined that he will reach out to those most unloved in society. It must have been thankless many times, but he did it because he was doing it in the sight of God. And this afternoon, let the challenge be the same to us. Are you doing your service in the sight of God? That alone will give the strength to persevere, to pursue it, even when it is thankless. And when you come to think of it, who did a ministry that was most unappreciated, that served thankless people? Wasn't it the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we will remember tonight in the Lord's Supper? When he died, he died alone, forsaken even by his disciples. Yet he died for sinners, for their salvation. If you are not yet in Christ, once more tonight, the invitation extends to you. Kung wala ka pa kay Kristo, ang paanyaya ay para sa iyo na lumapit kay Kristo. Nang hindi mo siya hinahanap, hinanap niya ang makasalanan. Nang wala kang anumang pakialam sa mga bagay ng Diyos, ikaw ay tinatawag ng paanyaya ng Ebanghelyo, lumapit ka ngayon kay Jesucristo. At tayong mga mananampalataya, muli nating panariwain na tayo ay naglilingkod ngayon ng dahil sa harapan, na tayo ay nasa harapan ng ating Diyos. Let us therefore use this occasion to examine ourselves whether this service is moved by being in the sight of God. Let us sing our last hymn, which is a hymn of self-searching and self-examination. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa tama, tulungan mo nga kami na magsuri ng aming mga sarili at sikapin naming tunay na malaman ang aming niloloob at kung ang aming motibo ay yaong dinidikta ng aming pakikipagharap sa iyo. It may be that we are so much governed by what people say, by how people look at us, and it may be that our decisions, our walk, our lifestyle are so shaped by the approval of men. And this is unworthy of the calling with which you have called us. For you called us to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the foremost thing to us ought to be the approval of our God in Christ. So grant that we may refresh this in our own hearts, that we may truly have that I, thou standing before you, that we are not just talking about you as third person, that we are not just using a thing associated with you, but that we are speaking to you in reverent spirit, yet before our God. And may that give us shield when we are faced with pressure and hurtful treatment, and strengthen us for a service that sometimes will prove unappreciated and thankless, mindful that it was the Lord Jesus who served the most when there was no appreciation, when there was no gratitude on the part of those he served. May we therefore commemorate what he has done even in our Lord's Supper tonight in a way that will challenge us to do likewise, to do everything in the sight of God. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.